The writer Thomas Dish shot and killed himself Friday after a series of devastating events, including a fire in his apartment, a flood in his home, and the death of his longtime partner. He also faced chronic health problems. Thomas Dish wrote science fiction for adults and children, as well as poetry and critical essays. In his New York Times obituary, he was described as writing dark themes, disturbing plots, and corrosive social commentary that made him a leader of what was called the new wave of science fiction. Dish was best known for his children's book, The Brave Little Toaster. The heroes were five loyal, dependable, small appliances. I spoke with him in 1988, after the publication of his sequel, The Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars. In this story, Earth is threatened by an invasion of angry appliances who were exiled to Mars, victims of planned obsolescence. The brave little toaster and his friends journey into outer space to stop the invasion. Dish was surprised when I asked him why he gave his appliances personalities.
I think everybody, especially towards their toaster, regards them as personal. I mean, electricity... Is like blood. It's a living fluid, and it's hard not to think of appliances as having independent existences because they do things. They make noises. Radios talk to us. Toasters are kind to us. They reflect our faces. Sit down in the morning if you live by yourself, and the first positive relationship of your day is going to be with your toaster.
When my appliances have personalities, the personality is usually rebellious. When I think of my appliances as having personalities, it's always because they're out sick or they're rebelling against me. I went through a period where the TV was broken, the toaster oven was broken, my cassette deck was broken. And there was something wrong with my car.
The reason this may be happening to you is because you don't pay attention to them when they're serving you without complaint. And, you know, if you dealt with a person that way, no wonder they'd start breaking down, getting sick. You know, it's psychosomatic.
I'm interested in why you started writing children's books.
Well, the first one was... The Brave Little Toaster, and it was written as a children's book. I wrote it just because I thought it was a beautiful idea, and I've written a few things in that vein since, some story poems, and I've had stories that I wrote as science fiction stories and fantasies that were adapted for children's TV programs. There's a certain vein, false innocence is not the right word, because that suggests that it's false, and it isn't. It's quite sincere. The point is that there's a certain attitude that makes a story a children's story, and it's basically the Brave Little Toaster's attitude that everything is basically nice in the world, and that you only have to smile and other people will get along with you. And
now that attitude is more or less precisely the opposite attitude that you've taken in most of your science fiction books.
Well, then it's the opposite attitude to most adult literature. I mean, life is more complicated than that, but I think that it's... It's a reasonable attitude to inculcate in children. I mean, a large part of the world will work on that assumption just fine. But it's probably not suitable for, you know, for long stretches of being a serious grown-up, right? If you look at the day's newspapers and try to think of how many of the problems there could be solved by that attitude, probably not many, huh?
You know, in 1970, you suggested that science fiction was a branch of children's literature. And I want to know what you meant by that.
A large part of science fiction, that's still true. The Star Wars and Star Trek series, their popularity has been with children and young teenagers. And, of course, the Brave Little Toaster story itself, insofar as it became easily and quickly the most popular thing I'd ever done, sort of bears out what I said, because I wrote it as a children's book, but when it first appeared as a science fiction story, it was very, very well received among people who might have had more difficulty with what you could say my serious science fiction. There's a saying in the field that the golden age of science fiction is 12. Right. That's the age you start reading it. Mm-hmm. No matter what year that was, that is your golden age of science fiction, because you can only enjoy your first kiss once, right?
Do you feel that inhibits you as a writer, that somehow you want to be addressing adults, but you suspect you're addressing 12-year-olds?
Well, it hasn't been a problem for me, because when I want to address adults, I do. There has been, as a result, pretty much of my generation of SF writers, starting in the middle 60s, Ursula Le Guin, Norman Spinrad, me, Sam Delaney, a lot of us, decided that we would write science fiction for grown-ups. And we did, and now there is... It's no longer a controversial undertaking. Of course, the problem that made it controversial is that an awful lot of the adult readers of science fiction then and now, of the simpler-minded sort of science fiction, didn't like to have it pointed out that their reading tastes weren't entirely adult. And so we got called names. I think the one that I always got was nihilist. And so I've spent the 20 years subsequent to that insisting that I'm not a nihilist. You know, no, I'm not.
Well, on the other hand, you have said that science fiction is a virtual treasury of ways of standing conventional wisdom on its head. Does that idea appeal to you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's why, even though it's been awkward sometimes to be labeled as a science fiction writer, because most people do associate it with the simple-minded Flash Gordon sort of thing, I continue to want to write it, because you can just do things with science fiction, especially satire, that you can't do anywhere else. You can't write 1984, for instance, and set it in the present. The special effects, the special intellectual effects that can be created in science fiction don't exist in realistic fiction, and so if that's what you want to do, there's no other way.
Thomas Dish recorded in 1988. He took his life Friday. He was 68.